I've defined God's love for you over the weeks past. This is what we've talked about the first 2 weeks. That God's love is uncaused, it's unreasonable, it's eternal, it's personal, it's uncomplicated, it's sacrificial. If you've missed those two sermons, please go back to our website and listen to them. We need to become so acquainted with the love of God that He has for us. We went into week 3 then and week 4, and we began to illustrate God's love for us. And we did that through the story of Hosea and Gomer. That was week 3. Week 4, we illustrated it from the New Testament, the story of the prodigal son and the loving father. And today, week 5, we're back into the Old Testament. We're going to illustrate God's love for us again through the story of Ruth and Boaz. Do you remember their story? Their story is intertwined with Naomi's story. And the first thing I get from their story is that life is full of trouble. Their story is found in the book of Ruth, and it's just 4 chapters sandwiched in between the book of Judges and the book of 1 Samuel. That's where Ruth is at. And it starts out by saying that there was a famine in the land. Life was becoming harder and harder by the day. So Elimelech and his wife Naomi moved to Moab to try and survive the famine. Now here's a map of that area, and you see the Dead Sea is this long strip of blue right in the middle of this map. And it's called the Dead Sea because that's exactly a description of it. There is absolutely nothing living in the Dead Sea other than bacteria. It is so full of salt that absolutely nothing, not one fish, lives in the Dead Sea. Well, the northwest corner of the Dead Sea, you see the city of Bethlehem. That's where Elimelech and Naomi were from. And they wanted to get out of that famine-stricken land, and they decided to go to Moab. And so, you see what their journey would have been to the northwest or to the northeast. They have to travel to the top and over across the Dead Sea, across the Jordan River, and into that land on the eastern side of the Dead Sea. And then they went 25 miles to the south, at least 25 miles, depending on where they landed in Moab, which is in the purple there, maybe even as far as 65 miles south is where they landed to get away from this famine. And life was indeed hard. They had 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Those 2 sons went with them. When you're living in an agricultural society and famine hits, it can't seem to get any harder than that. But it got even harder for Naomi because over a period of time, she loses both sons to death. And 10 years later, her husband Elimelech dies as well. I can't imagine what she's feeling. I can't imagine what she's going through, the sadness, the aloneness, the brokenness, the hurt, the feeling of isolation, the questions that were going through her mind of why to God. Why have you allowed all of this to happen to me? I'm sure she's feeling desperation. She's feeling panic. I mean, what's she going to do? The women in that culture depended entirely upon the men in their lives to provide the living for the family. And now, not only is her husband gone, but her two sons are gone. She has nobody in her life, no male figure in her life to take care of her. She does have her two daughters-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. But they're hurt too. I mean, they're feeling the same feelings that she's feeling. And so Naomi, at this point in the story, decides to go back to her homeland, to go back to Bethlehem. And she tells her daughters-in-law, you need to go back to your families. I mean, I don't have anything to offer to you. Orpah did that. And to me, it's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. You read the story. I'm going to challenge you to read these four chapters of Ruth. And when Naomi gives this challenge to her daughters-in-law, Orpah says, okay, you know, I guess that's the best thing for me to do. And it says she went back to her family and to her gods. Gods, plural. Oh my. But Ruth was different. And it's at this point in the story that we have one of the greatest passages in the Old Testament. In fact, it is the most popular passage of Scripture from this whole book of Ruth, where Ruth says to her mother-in-law, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. Wow. What a statement of loyalty and devotion. Now, maybe you don't have exactly the same problems that Naomi and Ruth had, but I would bet if I asked you to take out a pencil and paper, and for a few moments, I want you to make a list of your problems, your personal problems that you're dealing with, I bet every person in this room could make a list. And your list may look different than my list, but the fact I'm making is we all have problems. We all have struggles in our life. It's the world that we live in. Job said it this way, life is full of trouble. That's Job chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus reiterated that same truth in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, in this world you will have trouble. Another translation says, in this world you will have tribulation. It's a part of the cursed earth that we live on, and it's what makes heaven look so glorious. Because when we get to heaven, there will be no more trouble. There will be no more tribulation of any kind. No more tears. No more sadness. But until we get there, we live in a world of tribulation. We live on a cursed earth. And you've heard me say it many times in my preaching, if you're not in the middle of trouble right now, you're probably coming out of trouble or you're getting ready to go into trouble. And that's just the fact. I'm not trying to be a doomsday prophet. It's just the world that we live in. We are constantly living in some kind of turmoil, some kind of trouble in our life. I didn't realize that when I was a young person. I guess my parents shielded me from troubles for the most part. But as I became an adult on my own, it became a reality to me, hitting me in the face. And it's been that way ever since. It's It's a troublesome world. And Naomi, she was so sad over having lost her husband and her two sons. In fact, Naomi had become bitter. She said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. You call me Mara." She changed her name. You know what Mara means? Bitter. And it's an easy trap to fall into, the trap of bitterness. Now, Ruth was a bright spot for her, but life had become hard for both of them. Let me give to you a second point. God is taking care of us amidst the troubles. As you read through this story, you'll see that truth. God, one time after another, is giving care and provision to Naomi and Ruth. He had not abandoned them. He had not forgotten about them. He was with them every step of the journey. As they got back to Bethlehem, where Naomi had grown up, they hadn't been there long at all, is my sense from the text. And Ruth says, "You know, we need food. we need food on the table." And so Ruth says, "I'll go out and I'll glean in the fields." As they're harvesting the wheat, as they're harvesting the barley, "I'll follow up behind the harvesters and I'll glean what's left behind." And that was something that God had made possible. In fact, it was a stipulation in the Old Testament for those who were farmers that as you glean, as you harvest your crop, you don't go back a second time and pick up what you missed the first time, because the poor people, that's what they get. And so Ruth, that's what she's doing. She's in the field gleaning. And you might call this a coincidence. I don't call it a coincidence at all that she ends up in Boaz's field. I think it was not a coincidence. It was God taking care of Ruth and Naomi. The fact that she ends up in the field that is owned by Boaz. Boaz is a next of kin to Naomi. And then you begin to see Boaz taking care of Ruth and Naomi. I think Boaz thinks she's pretty. And so he's saying, "Who is this gal?" "Well, this is the widow. This is the widow of one of Naomi's sons. This is Naomi's daughter-in-law." "Oh, okay. I'm related to her." And Naomi, she learns about this from Ruth. Ruth comes home. She's got all kinds of wheat and barley in her hands, and she's the boy. Naomi says, "Well, you've had a good day. Where'd you work today? Where'd you glean?" "Well, I was in the field of this guy's name, Boaz." And all of a sudden, the wheels start turning in Naomi's mind. And this gal, who is so ridden with bitterness and sadness, all of a sudden she has a glimmer of hope, and the wheels start turning, and she starts finding out her new mission in life as a matchmaker. Okay. I think God's working here. And you know what? He was. And sometimes God is working when we can't see that He's working. Is that a song that we have by Michael W. Smith? Yeah. Sometimes He's working when we can't see that He's working. He's always working. He's always taking care of us. He never abandons us. When we're in the middle of trouble, when we have trouble up past our neck, God is there holding us up, caring for us, And he's not going to leave us. Boaz was so kind to Ruth. He's noticing her. He's providing for her. He makes sure that the others in the field are respectful of her. He goes to the workers in the field and he says, "You see this woman over here? You be nice to her. You let her glean. In fact, why don't you just throw some extra out for her to pick up? Ruth, come over here. Eat lunch with me." That's the kind of guy Boaz was. And she goes home. In fact, she says to Boaz, "Why are you being so kind to me?" And he says, "I've heard how you've been kind to your mother-in-law, Naomi." It's a lesson to us that kindness, the kindness that we give to others, will often come back to us, sometimes in a roundabout way. Brothers and sisters, this is something you can be 100% sure of. Troubles will come, but God will always be with you amidst the troubles. He will help you. He will comfort you. He will never abandon you. He will get you through those troubles, and you know what? He will grow you stronger through the troubles if you hold on to him. Cancer? It's not too big for God. He will be with you. And if you have him on your side, you are a winner, which whatever happens, whatever way things go, you are a winner. And you could say that about whatever health issue that you might be facing. Financial struggles or family struggles, God will be with you and he will carry you and hold on to you if you hold on to him. He will not bail on you. The things may not turn out the way you thought they might, but he will take care of your needs and he will give you the strength that you need to overcome. My brother's daughter is named Sarah. She's my niece. And right now, she is going through a very ugly breakup in her marriage. And we're all very sad for her. And her ex-husband is making it so difficult. She lives out in the Northwest. And her husband is, he's just a rascal. He's mean. Meaner than a junkyard dog. That's what I got in my notes right here. And he's doing everything he can to turn the kids against their mother. I don't think he'll get that done. In fact, it might backfire on him. But the bottom line is, he is making life absolutely miserable for Sarah. And my brother and his wife, Terry, went out to the Northwest this last week. And their hope was that they would not even cross paths with him. They didn't even want to see him. Because you know, if somebody's treating your kid really bad, you know how you feel towards that person and what struggle you're having. Just in your feelings, much less in your reaction. And so they had said, even before they left, we don't even want to see him. Pray for us, please. And so I've been praying for them all week. Lord, help them. Wouldn't you know it, they've already crossed paths with him twice. And I'm so proud of my brother Tom. He's my hero in the faith. He went up to Ken and he shook his hand and he was kind to him. And I'm thinking, it's just an example. It's a reminder to me that we have trouble in this world. But no matter how big the trouble is, God's bigger. And God can help us, whether it's with a health issue or a financial issue, a family issue. You name the trouble that you're facing, and I will tell you, God is bigger than that trouble. And He'll help you if you hold on to Him and you look to Him. Let me give to you a third point from the story of Boaz and Ruth. And that is, God loves all people. This is a great reminder to us from this story. Ruth was from Moab. She was not a Jew. But God loved her and accepted her as His own. And do you realize that Ruth was the great grandmother of King David? You say, what? Yeah, Ruth was the great grandmother of King David. Isn't it interesting that God chooses a non-Jew to be the great grandmother of the greatest king, the second greatest king, I should say, who ever sat on the throne of Israel? Who's the first great king? Jesus Christ, which means that Ruth, a non-Jew, is in the ancestry line of King Jesus. I think there's another slide there. Here it is from Matthew chapter 1, that passage of Scripture that we usually just slide right over. We don't read all those begats. But here it is. Right there in verse 5, Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David the king. And so, just another way. And you know, Ruth is one of only five women that are mentioned by name in the genealogy of Jesus. And oh, by the way, did you notice who the mother of Boaz was? Did you catch that? Verse 5? Rahab, the harlot from Jericho. Right here in this one generation, you have Ruth, a non-Jew, and you have Rahab giving birth. Rahab, a harlot who is a non-Jew too, giving birth to Boaz, and both Boaz and Ruth end up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And that is why I say to you, God loves all people. He loves the Jews and the Gentiles alike. He's not going to turn His heart away from someone who will turn towards Him. I'll give you my final point, and I know we're out of time. God's plan is good. I want to encourage you to read these four chapters of the book of Ruth. You can see His love on every page of this story and how He's taken care of these two widowed women. The one thing I've not mentioned to you yet is the fact that Boaz was the kinsman redeemer of Ruth. In other words, get this, Boaz purchased her from Naomi to be his bride. The truth is, Boaz is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. He's the redeemer, he's the rescuer of Ruth, who was in dire need. I read an article this last week from the internet about Boaz being a type of Christ, and it gave seven reasons why that's true. It was a very interesting article for me to read. Jesus has purchased us with his own blood amidst our dire need of sin. He is our redeemer. He is our rescuer. And there is no other way that you can be rescued. And so as we come to the invitation time and the band, just go ahead and come at this moment as I continue speaking. I just want to ask you, have you surrendered to Jesus? Have you said yes to him through repentance and Christian baptism? Most of us here have. There's, I'm sure, some who maybe have not. We want to help you with that. In fact, we're having one this morning who's stepping up and saying, I want Jesus as my Savior. I want him as my Redeemer. Maybe there'd be others. If you don't understand what all of that means, we want to help you with that. Okay? Just let's all stand together, please.